Coming up on today's Next Fan Up podcast.
And I think I probably speak for most international fans. Nobody here knows where the hell Oakland is.
Whoa, there we go with our geography again.
His lack of intelligence is brilliantly and abundantly abysmal at best.
Oh, now, James, that's not right.
Who is twice the man he used to be.
Hey, I know you're not talking about me, because I've lost 30 pounds since January. All right, enough of this. Let's get to the football talk now.
Listen. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to the Thursday edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. I am Pod Vader. As always, we got a few things cooked up for you at the last minute. I've been off for a couple of days enjoying wrestling events here in the great state of Connecticut. Because, you know, I have other interests other than the NFL. But I've got three super fans here who are all ready to talk about some NFL news. And, whoa, there's one of them right now. Neil coming in from a blustery Scotland. Hello, Neil.
Hey, Jay, how are you doing? And who were you wrestling with?
Oh, that's well done. By the way, Gronk was in the audience, and maybe I was wrestling with Gronk. You never know. Neil is our Washington Redskins superfan, and we'll probably talk a little bit about the Redskins. Coming to us from Prison Zone 1 in New York is our Miami Dolphins superfan, Andy. Hello, Andy.
Hello, Pod. I'd like to think, or not think, I actually know that your wrestling reference was just a humble bragging way of you saying, hey, I have kids who wrestle, and they wrestle in very fancy school districts, so fancy that NFL players are in the audience. And good humble brag on your part, Pod.
Oh, if only that were the case, that would be that would have been fantastic. But no, my kids are not in the WWE at this particular point in time. Not yet, at least.
Oh, wow.
Not yet, although apparently, according to a phone call I received recently, it might happen sooner rather than I want to think about. But coming up next is our Eagle superfan, also not in the town where his team is. He's in Atlanta. It's James. Hello, James.
Hey, Pod. Hey, guys. Slow day here in Atlanta. Not much going on. Just like free agency.
Free agency has sort of come to a halt after the furious beginning that it had. That said, I was just mentioning at some point down the road, we're going to talk in this show about the 2013 draft. And I wasn't able to put two and two together myself. But the reason why 2013 is such an important draft, because it stunk. But also all of those guys are free agents now. And this year we've had the most total signings in unrestricted free agency. And they've gotten more money than any free agency class before them. So go figure. As Andy mentioned off air, it's sort of that moving target. Everything continues to rise. You know, the salary cap continues to rise. You know, next year's class is going to be even bigger, and they're going to get even more money. So things to think about. And we'll be thinking about them with you. Hopefully, as you're listening to this show, you've subscribed to us on iTunes, TuneIn, or Stitcher. I know Alexa loves us, so maybe you're listening to us on Alexa. Neil, how's the Alexa working for you over there across the pond?
You know, Jay, I have no idea if Alexa's made it over here across the pond. I guess she has, but every time I scream, Alexa, please mute Jay, it doesn't work, so I'm guessing not.
It's not very nice, Neil. It's not very nice at all. But, you know, I wonder how Google loves us. I wonder if you can ask Google to play the latest episode of Next Fan Up. I'll bet you can. I don't have a Google device to try that on. Yeah. So anyway, go subscribe to our show. That way you don't have to worry about Alexa or Google or any of those people to get your latest perspective, the fan perspective, the right perspective on your favorite team. You know, last week we had mentioned that we hadn't heard a lot about the Las Vegas Raiders of Oakland. But next week we're going to hear a lot about them, because next week are the owners' meetings, and that is where we are expected to hear a little bit about the latest chances that the Oakland Raiders may or may not have in moving their franchise to Las Vegas. One of the things that did come out was that apparently the Raiders are going to be charged $325 to $350 million to relocate their team, which is a fairly hefty price. But when you consider that it cost the LA Rams and the LA Chargers of San Diego $650 million to move to LA, one has to wonder, does the NFL really want the Raiders in Las Vegas? And Andy, I will start with you. What are your thoughts here? Do you think the NFL all of a sudden is like, oh yeah, go ahead and move, Oakland?
I think the NFL has become fed up with the fact that the Raiders essentially play in a baseball field. That they've been fed up with that for probably the past 20 years. They see all of these state-of-the-art stadiums just really sprout up with a combination of public funding as well as the owner's pockets. And they're like, hey, Oakland, man, what's the deal? You know, it's not like the Bay Area is bereft of wealth and income. And there's just no excuse for you to be playing in Oakland Alameda Coliseum or whatever that dump is called these days. I don't even know. Now, as far as Las Vegas, I think when you look at the Raiders, their oral and personal history, and you look at the oral history of Las Vegas, it's really a glove-like fit. I mean, both Vegas and the Raiders organization are very, very cut, very renegade, very off-the-cuff, flashy, you know, type of organizations. And that's kind of what Vegas is. Obviously, Vegas has gotten to be pretty corporate over the years, and it's not necessarily the Wild West that it used to be, maybe in the 1970s, 1980s. But, you know, the NFL has gotten a lot more corporate, too. So I think it's definitely a glove-like fit for sure. And they're definitely going to do more. They're definitely going to do better than the NHL team in Vegas. I don't think the NHL team's going to do very well because I think NHL games, the puck drops at 7 p.m. at night. And in Las Vegas, in case you haven't noticed, people have other things to do at 7 p.m. But football, I think, is going to work very well.
James, you know, as I'm reading more about the Raiders move, that it doesn't expect to have any pushback from the owners. Really, the only question would be, why do they need to have the vote now, as it's expected that they're going to remain in Oakland for at least two more seasons, which, again, seems kind of strange. You know, the Chargers are moving out. They're going to play in a smaller stadium in L.A. for the time being. Why aren't the Raiders moving to Las Vegas now?
I probably primarily on the surface is due to whatever facility that was agreed upon being built hasn't even begun construction yet. That gives them time to actually get that done and out the way so that when they do move, there's no transitioning to some other venue before the facility that they're actually going to play in is done being built. Also, you get this out of the way so it's not lingering later on. You know, in the middle of the season when this was announced, it was kind of a shock that they actually had everything lined up ready to go by the end of the season. And then as the off season began, basically, it's like a lot of things fell through with investors pulling out and this move being in question. And, you know, we're just now getting to this point where the owner's actually going to vote on it when there's already been so much going on between the end of the league calendar year and now that they could have easily had this vote 2-3 weeks ago. So I don't know if it's the owners pretty much delaying this as much as possible or just not being high up on their agenda of things to discuss at this point.
Neil, one last question for you. As you come from an area where you don't have an NFL team, but let's say you were located in the greater Oakland area and you knew your team was leaving to go to Las Vegas. Are you remaining a fan of the Raiders or are you saying, you know what? You guys are going to be gone in 2 years. It's time for me to find another team that's a little closer to home so I can root them on a daily basis.
It's a really interesting question, Jay, because it's completely goes against everything that that I have lived in my life and certainly in Britain. That just that sort of thing just does not happen. So it's really difficult to be able to make any decision about how I would do that because it just doesn't happen here. There would be mutiny on the streets. The owners would the owners would never be allowed back in the country again. It just doesn't happen. It's just socially our climate here is that that if you're I take the soccer example. A Liverpool or a Manchester United, and you wanted to move to another city, just wouldn't be allowed at that level. In the lower levels, maybe, but not at the sort of main high level of professional sports. So I really can't say, Jay. I think deep down, I would probably still follow the team that I followed as a kid growing up, even though maybe they'd moved from Oakland to Vegas. One thing I can say though is just as an international fan, and I think I probably speak for most international fans, nobody here knows where the hell Oakland is, so it's just not on our radar internationally. Whereas Vegas, of course, is known universally. So I think there'd be a lot of excitement over here for a Vegas franchise and Oakland. Well, wherever that is, it can go back to being whatever it is.
That's pretty brilliant. I mean, one of the other things noted in this particular article is that the Oakland television market is rather small, but really the tourism. I'm sorry, not Oakland, Las Vegas. The Las Vegas television market is rather small, but the tourism is quite high. You would imagine that this would be a big boon to Las Vegas tourism to have Raiders fans. And the Raiders are one of those teams that does have a fan base that's much larger than its local area. So I do wonder if that, of course, also aids in making this move a little bit easier to sort of accept than, say, the St. Louis fans when they lost the Rams. You know what? I think I'm going to get a St. Louis Rams fan on next week to talk about sort of where St. Louis is now in regards to their former franchise. Because I think this is something to delve in on. Go ahead, Andy.
If I could just interject for just one second. As the globalist that I am, I think, and given what the game looked like, there was a Monday night game played down there last year, if you guys remember. I think if there was ever a city or ever a franchise that was just so ripe to move to Mexico City, it would have been the Raiders. And as a globalist, as someone who loves the game of football and wants to see the game of football expand as much as it possibly can beyond our borders, I think the Raiders moving to Mexico City would have been fantastic. Very much like I think the Buffalo Bills moving to Toronto would be fantastic as well. Doesn't look like either of those things are going to happen, but just my two cents.
I would agree with you. I mean, other than the altitude, there's really no reason why a team couldn't move to Mexico and all of the tangential things when it comes to making a schedule or travel to a city aren't a concern in Mexico City, whereas moving a team to over where Neil lives, travel to that particular part of the world is a little bit more difficult to do, especially if you're traveling from Oakland to, say, England or the greater UK.
Yeah, as much as we enjoy seeing the games over here, certainly having a franchise over here, it's just, I think when we can start doing a Star Trek like beaming players across the world, then maybe fine, but it's just we're too far away, let's face it. The pond's too big, Jay.
You know, the Concorde used to be a thing. Why don't we have other planes that are like the Concorde that could travel in, you know, a couple of hours across the Atlantic? That seems to be
interesting. It's very expensive.
That's a whole different podcast.
It certainly is. Speaking of different podcasts, as I continue to talk about the meetings that are going to happen next week, one of the things that has come up, Roger Goodell plans on proposing a plan to make the game quicker. To be more specific, Goodell states that the NFL will make a series of changes that will improve, quote, the flow and pace of the game and commercialization and the number of necessary disruptions to the game on the field. Now, this interview is going to air a little bit later tonight on the NFL Network. I did hear him talk with Mike and Mike on ESPN, on ESPN Radio and ESPN2, I think they're on. I don't know. Yeah. ESPN has too many channels. But ESPN, the Ocho. So here's one of the things that really perturbs me about this making the game quicker. Because the one thing we know the NFL likes is the fact that they make a lot of money. And they make a lot of money because of television commercials and those partners that they have deals with to air those rights make back their money via commercials. I can also tell you that oftentimes those television partners that they're getting into bed with are actually losing money on the NFL to have the rights to carry the NFL because they can't make back the amount of money that they've paid with the commercials that they're going to air on those games. So to hear Goodell say, we're going to cut some of the television commercial breaks, and if implemented, each break would be increased from a minute 50 to 2 minutes, 20 seconds to accommodate the new format, and ultimately will shorten the game by 5 minutes. Wait a second. Now we're talking about shortening the game by 5 minutes? This doesn't sound like it's going to go over very well with a lot of different people. James, what are your thoughts here on shortening the game by 5 minutes thanks to longer commercial breaks but shorter commercial breaks?
Once again, Roger is proving that his lack of intelligence is brilliantly and abundantly abysmal at best. This is bordering on asinine, basically. The flow of the game right now is probably as good as it's going to get at any point since the commercialization of football in the 80s. Yes, there are far too many commercials, and yes, the networks are paying far too much money to get the rights to broadcast these games, but it's not like the league is doing anything to stop this flow of money coming into their pockets. At the end of the day, the owners still want to get paid, the players want to get paid, and Roger, quote, wants to see the game thrive. So these minutiae, these minor things that he wants to do aren't really going to impact the game in any way positively towards the fans, I don't think. But will it affect their bottom line as far as how much money comes in? Possibly. Will that be positive or negatively? Not sure until we see how this plays out. But expanding the commercial breaks to get more flow of the game in between those commercial breaks doesn't really say much. I mean, we already have a break now, what, after the national anthem, then another break after the opening kickoff, after the first change of possession, anytime the ball goes over and downs, anytime there's a score, there's a commercial. I remember one game we actually had a commercial break after a touchdown. They came back, kicked the extra point, and went to a commercial again. So if he's trying to, you know, eliminate that from happening, fine. But are those really big things to overtly complain about to, quote, enhance the flow of the game? Not really. The extra play is an untimed down. And yes, we know that there's a threat of possibly 2 points being scored on it, even though that's being reviewed this year as well. But that doesn't take away from the flow of the game. An extra point is just an extra point. I mean, the worst case scenario, it gets blocked or returned for 2 points by the other team. As far as everything else that goes on, you don't need to stop after every single thing that happens in the game to have a commercial. I agree with that, but I don't think this is going to speed up the pace of the game because that's still relegated to the players and the teams on the field as far as how quickly they get off plays.
You know, what I love is we'll know when Neil is ready to chime in because the wind will blow in from across the pond. To let us know. But I do want to go to you, Neil, because your sport, as you mentioned earlier when we were talking about teams moving, doesn't seem to have this television commercial crisis. You end up having at least, what is it? Like, it's 90 minutes uninterrupted, right? Or is it 45? I forget. I don't follow your sport closely enough.
Yeah, in soccer and also in rugby, too, you have, for a start, we have... our main channels are actually commercial-free, of course, with the BBC being carrying quite a lot of sport. But in Sky Sports, it's a commercial channel. You have breaks with soccer and rugby before the game starts, and then you get the whole first half, which is then... there's no actual point in the game, really, where you can have a break. So you have this break at the halftime period, and then you have the second half again free of commercials. I do wonder if Roger Goodell is really just putting this out there, sort of, you know, hoisting it up the flagpole to see if Henry salutes it. And I think at the moment, probably nobody's saluting it. Saving 5 minutes in the game. I don't know. It's one of the reasons that NFL certainly struggles in the UK to get a mass audience is the number of commercial breaks. I mean, it is a problem for us over here. And I wonder if Red Zone has created a bit of a problem as well, because people love Red Zone because it's commercial free. And how many times does Scott Hansen tell us it's commercial free football for the next 7 hours? And I think that might impact also on maybe on viewing figures. You'll know that better than me.
That is an excellent point, Neil, that I haven't even thought of. But being a pay service on cable is something interesting. Although I still hear more people talk about DirecTV more than I hear them talk about Red Zone. But it's something to look into, and maybe an opportunity to bring on Andrew Brandt once again to talk about the business side of things in the NFL. Andy, one of the things that I do think is a good point that they do plan on introducing as well is starting the play clock following a touchdown and the extra point. That I do think is a good idea, and didn't realize that the play clock did come to a complete stop once a touchdown was scored, and also didn't start after an extra point had been scored.
Yeah, I didn't realize that either. You learn something new every day. That's crazy. I've been watching football for 20 years. I had no idea that was the case.
The other point was they were going to try and standardize the starting the clock after a runner goes out of bounds. And standardize halftime lengths. Also didn't know that the halftime was not a predetermined amount of time. I thought it was
12 minutes.
Yeah. Well, see, you thought it was 12 and I thought it was 10. And then only during the Super Bowl was halftime like half an hour. That's also interesting. But I thought that the runner goes out of bounds, the clock stops, but it starts again upon the placement of the ball. And then it only remains stopped in the final 2 minutes of the game. I don't know. These are all interesting notes that I was unaware of. But we'll see what happens, what becomes of that. There were a couple of free agent signings this week. None that really had a large impact. Latavius Murray, I believe we discussed that last week. But one of the news items that came out was that he had underwent surgery for an injury that occurred to his ankle early last season. And now he's having the surgery now, which I think is also kind of strange. Apparently, all the teams that he spoke with were aware that surgery was going to be necessary for his ankle. And my guess is that's sort of what scared those teams off of signing him. Latavius Murray's surgery, Neil, do you think this is as big as news as one might think?
Well, I think it's big news if you consider the Vikings are happy to sign an injured player who needs surgery rather than sign Adrian Peterson back.
I think the news that the Vikings decided that they're going to sign Latavius Murray, who needed surgery, instead of Adrian Peterson, and the Raiders want to sign Marshawn Lynch, who's been out of the league for a year, rather than sign Adrian Peterson, is interesting news when talking about Adrian Peterson, Andy.
Yeah, I mean, that's very interesting news. As far as Latavius Murray is concerned, he's been a starting tailback in the NFL for, I guess, 3 years now. And I still haven't decided if I think he's good or not. I'm pretty sure he's not bad, but I don't know if he's good. And the Vikings, to my knowledge at least, haven't really improved their offensive line very much. To my knowledge, their quarterback is still some combination of Sammy Sleeves and Teddy Two Gloves. I don't know. I don't know how that whole thing is going to work. In terms of Marshawn Lynch, he's actually been in the league for, I think it's been, actually, no, it's been only 1 year, actually, 2016. I'm pretty sure he's still going to be good. And I don't think the Raiders even need him to be a 200 carry guy. I think if the Raiders get 150 carries for 720 yards and six touchdowns out of him in a platoon role, I think they'll be more than happy.
You know, this also brought up more injury news that's out there, and that's yes, Neil.
Just to say that, just to get us going towards the end of the show there, of course, Latavius Murray, one of the classic players from the fabulous 2013 draft.
Yes. He and perhaps one of those players that we'd want to look at a little bit more closely as we talk about that 2013 draft. But before we get to it, I want to bring up one more item, and that's Cam Newton, who apparently is going to have surgery for a partially torn rotator cuff. But that surgery is not going to happen for another week, and then he'll be out for about 4 months. And you always got to wonder, as a fan, why are we waiting until the end of March to have this type of surgery? I'd much rather have this surgery earlier so that my quarterback is ready for the beginning of the NFL season, James.
Well, you know, could be outside contract obligations due to his endorsements. Could be other scheduling conflicts that he may have with any, you know, signings or events he may be scheduled to show up at. Trust me, it's been a question of mine as well. You know, you have this nagging injury that's been lagging on for the last month of the season. You know, we get through the playoffs, your team didn't make it, and you're just sitting around doing whatever have you, you know, showing up on sports shows to talk about the playoff games or a guest on a pre or post Super Bowl show. And then February goes by, March goes by. It's like, oh yeah, by the way, I have this injury and I need to have surgery, and it's going to put me out for the majority of the offseason workout. I've never understood that. Again, I'm just spitballing here as far as what could be, you know, like I said, endorsement obligations, other scheduling conflicts with whatever his own individual organizations that he runs, charitable contributions and things that he takes care of during the offseason, probably wants those out the way before he does the surgery and then get back to those things afterwards, because I'm not sure what the initial recovery time is as far as what he can and can't do after the surgery will be. But typically that those are the things that tend to crop up. So delaying it a week, you know, at this point, it's like, you know, you waited this long to announce that the surgery is going to be had another week's not going to hurt.
That brings us to a topic that, unfortunately, I know Andy was really looking forward to joining us on, but will only be able to participate in the beginning part. And that is the 2013 draft. And as I mentioned earlier, the reason why the 2013 draft is so important right now is because these players are now free agents. And the 2013 draft sucked. And just to let you know how bad it sucked, the quarterbacks that were taken that year, Geno Smith, Tyler Wilson, Zach Dysart, Matt Barkley, Mike Glennon, Ryan Nassib, EJ Manuel, Landry Jones, Brad Sorensen, Sean Renfrey, and BJ Daniels. I would argue maybe it's between Mike Glennon and Landry Jones as the best quarterback in that group. Andy, who do you got?
You said Geno Smith and EJ Manuel, right?
I did.
Okay. Yeah, Mike Glennon is better than Landry Jones. Neither of them is the type of quarterback that you want to take home to mom. But yeah, I think Mike Glennon is capable of completing passes and throwing for 230 yards more often than not, which in this day and age doesn't say very much. It's funny how bad the 2013 draft really has been. And listen, as a Dolphins fan, you don't have to tell me that. I mean, Deion Jordan, probably one of the worst draft picks in Miami Dolphin history. And I don't think that, and that's saying a lot, because we botched our fair share. Most namely, pretty much every single defensive player we drafted in the first round under Marino. You look at the Jets. The Jets took Dee Milliner, 6th overall. He's probably out of the league by now. And they took Sheldon Richardson, 13th overall, who looked really good for a long time. And he probably is good, but he's a headache, and he's probably done more harm than good in New York. And yeah, the 2013 Ezekiel Ansah, of the Lions is probably the best pick that I can think of in that round. Can you guys think of one better?
Well, I will tell you that I'm looking at profootballreference.com, and I've got the draft currently sorted by what they call weighted career approximate value. And how that
Hans
has
got to be number one.
Now, the number one is Le'Veon Bell.
Of course.
And he was picked in the second round. Number two is David Bakhtiari, who's picked in the fourth round by the Green Bay Packers. The first rounder that shows up in their weighted career average is Travis Frederick, the center for the Dallas Cowboys. What's interesting here, though, is that Eddie Lacy will show up as number four. That's when I start to question sort of where this weighted career value comes in.
I question that as well.
But, I mean, his production, he did have, so far in his career, he has 23 touchdowns, 3,435 yards. He's about 610 yards short of Le'Veon Bell and only three touchdowns less than Le'Veon Bell. Now, Bell's also produced more yards and catches in the passing game, but
Bell's also missed a lot of time.
Receiving touchdowns, Eddie Lacy beats him out. So it's, that's sort of the way I can put it. Ezekiel Ansa does show up in their weighted career average 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. So he's at least closest in terms of where he was actually drafted, fifth overall, to where his weighted career average is. So if you want to look at it in that sense, at least Ezekiel Ansa hit there. Go ahead, Neil.
Yeah, I would. Jay, we should just do a next hour on this bloody 2013 draft. It's horrendous.
I have a feeling we're going to revisit it once or twice before the actual draft occurs.
You can say that six out of the first 11 picks were offensive linemen. And yet, if you want some offensive linemen in this draft, forget those first six and look down towards the end of the first round where you've got Kyle Long at 20 and Travis Frederick at 31, who have six Pro Bowls between them. Frederick's played all 64 games that he could have played in, and Kyle Long's played in 55 of them. Those are the two best picks, and let's face it, when it's a center and a guard as your two best picks in the first round, you know the draft wasn't great.
It's true. I would say that Eric Fisher, despite not having any Pro Bowls, is more than serviceable. The number one pick overall, that's probably where you have to sort of question things.
That was based on need, though. I'm just saying you also have to remember that in this year, you had a lot of teams that started with new head coaches. I believe this is Andy Reid's first year as coach of the Chiefs. Likewise, we had a new regime in Philadelphia. So the way Reid tends to run his operation is, again, he wants to build from the inside out. And the first thing you want to do is solidify those offensive lines. So they were going to take a tackle. And this is the year where basically it was coming down to Eric Fisher or Luke Joeckel. And everyone was going back and forth as far as who was going to be the number one pick. And up until the last minute, we really didn't know Fisher's going to be the number one pick until draft coverage actually started on day one of the draft. So you can see why, I mean, just going back at that point in time, why offensive linemen were such a premium at that point, because a lot of these teams had new coaches taking over. Looking at it now, 4 years removed from that point, you look at the talent that came out and what they've done in those 4 years. Would you start off with these two tackles? If the need was there, yes, but probably not these two. Throw some bias here and say Lane Johnson has performed admirably well. He doesn't have any, you know, Pro Bowl nods either, but he's, again, serviceable and solidifies that front line for Philadelphia, especially giving help opposite of Jason Peters, who initially he was supposed to be a replacement for.
Oh, James, whoa. Stop that man, Jay. Stop him. Lane Johnson may have been a good pick, but he's been so juiced every year of his career. He doesn't count.
Wow.
That's below the belt. That's below the belt.
Well, another thing just to mention with the offensive linemen, remember back in 2013, and it seems a lifetime ago, that was when we had the sort of theory that if there was no great skill position player, the safe pick was always an offensive tackle. And I think that was what we saw in this 2013 draft, and of course it failed miserably for those teams. We also have the two guards in this draft, Jonathan Cooper and Chance Warmack, who were at the time going to be the new great guards of the next 10 or 15 years, generational players. And Cooper was with you guys, wasn't he, Jay? And isn't he just signed for Dallas?
Yep. Cooper didn't even make it on the Patriots. He was traded. He was part of the Chandler Jones trade.
And am I thinking Chance Warmack is also dropped into the NFC East?
Yes, Chance Warmack ended up somewhere. I don't know where, though. Not off the top of my head. We'd have to look that up.
Not with you guys, James,
I don't remember. No, I don't think so, but it could be. I know we did
pick
up a couple of offensive
Chance
lines.
Warmack is now with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah. Happy days for Washington there. Yes,
some skill position players here, though, as well. I mean, Tyler Eifert, who I believe made at least one Pro Bowl in Cincinnati before leaving. Xavier Rhodes, one of the top corners in the NFC with the Vikings. And Atlanta pretty much got both their starting cornerbacks out this draft, first round Desmond Trufant and Alford in the second round. So, I mean, it's not a complete waste. Now, granted, a lot of these players probably don't have the accolades that we would expect them to see as far as Pro Bowls and, you know, top five of their position at this point. But again, remember, this is only 4 years in. I mean, we can't really expect these guys to be bolting out of the gate to be number one at their position. And there's some, you know, there's talent here that is still blossoming. But yeah, some of these guys did explode on the scene out the gates, like DeAndre Hopkins. You know, I believe every year he's, with the exception of this past year, look at all the quarterbacks he's played with in Houston. You know, to still put up 1,000-yard seasons and you know, with 10 touchdowns. So and that was 27th in the first round. So, I mean, there's talent. Is it eye-popping talent? No, but I've seen worse drafts.
I would say that DeAndre Hopkins, in terms of the – and taking Le'Veon Bell out of the – well, no, let's not even take Bell out of the conversation. Hopkins is the number two skills position player available in this draft. And that would be behind Bell. And I would probably argue, depending on your need, I would probably make DeAndre Hopkins the number two pick in this draft if we were going to redraft.
Well, you also have Jay in this draft. I think you're quite right there. There's also three very, very good tight ends came out of this draft in Jordan Reed, Travis Kelce, and Tyler Eifert. Those three outstanding young tight ends who are doing very well in the league and up near the top. One of the, I think, a cautionary tale perhaps for the 2017 draft is to have a look here at the defensive, what would you call them, the edge rushers, the pass rushers, those kind of tweener guys who you don't quite know if they're a 4-3 end or if they're a 3-4 tackle or if they're an outside linebacker. We have a few of them this year coming out, and you do look at this draft in 13 and see Mingo and Deion Jordan as players who were, Jarvis Jones, another one, players who were quite high picks, very high picks in the case of Jordan and Mingo, who looked great in college, standing up and just rushing the passer, but couldn't fit in anywhere really in the NFL, couldn't play a position, too stiff to play outside linebacker and not strong enough and big enough to play defensive end. So a bit of a cautionary tale looking ahead to the 2017 draft.
And as you look at who the top pass rushers actually were, and again, I'm using Pro Football Reference's weighted career approximate value, you're looking at Jamie Collins, Ezekiel Ansa, and then I'm going deep to find another edge rusher because I can't seem to find one, at least not listed here. Jarvis Jones would be the next one. But he is deep, and he was picked 17th overall by Pittsburgh.
But, you know, Pittsburgh is pretty much well-equipped to take those guys and groom them. Granted, they will sit on the bench a couple of years, but you know, the way they run their 3-4 with those outside linebackers, they bring them up through special teams. They get them reps during the games. And when the guy in front of them leaves, they're ready to step in and take that spot. Now, I don't know if Jones is still with Pittsburgh or not.
Now, Arizona Cardinals now.
Cardinals now. So, I mean, he bolted out of there before, you know, he had that chance. But, I mean, that's just speaking as far as outside looking in, that appears to be what the Steelers do when they draft those guys. And they typically do draft those tweeners, and they're able to turn them into that. You know, whether they stay there or not is a completely different story. But Jones did have an impact last year, you know, especially towards the end of the season, making plays going into the playoff run. So
now, sorting this draft by actual sacks, Anza is on the top, followed by Kawan Short and Sheldon Richardson. Devin Taylor is the fourth leading sacker, and then Alex Okafor right behind him, and then Jamie Collins. So it's an interesting group of pass rushers, to say the least.
Yeah, because when Anza came out, he was a player, I think, who had played very little college football and was really based on his physical traits, his physical abilities, as opposed to his play on the field. He was a huge risk, and at the time he was one of those players you thought, oh gosh, they've passed on Mingo to take Anza and his potential, as opposed to what Mingo did on the field in college. I think Detroit got lucky there. But it certainly wasn't. He certainly wasn't a player that was destined for stardom. Looking at his projection as a college player, because he didn't do a great deal in college. Good player though.
So let's revisit my would you take a defensive back or a pass rusher argument, and I do think that there's a much better class of defensive back in this draft. And as I sort by interceptions, Logan Ryan, which I'm a little surprised at, is the leader out of this class with 13 picks so far in his career, followed by Tyrann Mathieu, Robert Alford, as was mentioned by James earlier, Micah Hyde, Eric Reed, David Amerson, Desmond Trufant, and then Kiko Alonso sneaks in to the mix. There is, you know, again, that argument that perhaps a defensive back would do a little bit better for you, and you have a better chance of hitting on a defensive back
about
than
that,
you
Jay.
Do with a pass rusher.
I tell you what, Jay. I'm going to give you a present, okay? Right now, I'm going to give you a pair of cornerbacks from this draft, high picks, and a pair of pass rushers, and you can tell me who you want. You can have Bartavius Mingo and Deion Jordan as your bookend pass rushers, or you can have in the backfield there D. Milliner or DJ Hayden. Now those four guys were all top 12 picks. So there you go, Jay. Four first rounders. Take your pick.
Yeah, I'm gonna pass on all four.
Or in case the defensive backs, no picks.
But if I'm gonna use, all right. So fair enough. I'm gonna give you. Neil, I'll give you Desmond Trufant.
It's a game, isn't it?
I'm going to give you Desmond Trufant and Xavier Rhodes, or you can have, let's see here. I will give you in the first
Not
round.
Not Bjorn Werner. I don't want Bjorn Werner.
I will give you Dayton Jones and, all right, since you don't want Bjorn Werner. I will give you a David. Nope, not him. Sorry, he's not a first rounder. Where's the other guy? Oh my gosh, man, I can't
I
even
you'll
find.
Have to give me Dayton.
Oh wow,
I can't even Warner. Find another guy to give you. I'm gonna have to give you Warner. So there you go, Dayton Jones and Bjorn Warner are those two cornerbacks.
Yeah, Desmond Trufant and Xavier Rhodes, I guess they probably both made the Pro Bowl at least once. So very good players, clearly. I'd even take an injured Desmond Trufant as he was last season over a fully fit Bjorn Werner.
So, I mean, I'm just
Jay, but
we're just having fun there. But I mean, clearly, we can take and pick and cherry pick the ones that we want to make our case for us.
Yeah. But Jay, do understand that when these guys came out, you know, for the most, I'm not gonna say for the most part, but the guys at the top of that list as far as picks are playing on one very good defenses over the last 4 years as a whole, not just saying year by year. And two, they have a pass rusher in front of them who's been in the league a little bit longer than them, you know, in most cases, whether that's interior or exterior, who does get pressure on the quarterback to allow some of those errant throws that they're able to pick off. It's not always just them making great plays.
Well, okay, let's stick with Trufant and Rhodes. Who does Atlanta have that's such a great pass rusher?
Vic Beasley.
Vic Beasley this year. Vic Beasley before this year was a bust.
Come on. They also had a good defensive line when they drafted him.
Hey, I'm just saying. The big knock on Atlanta before this year was their defense. Their defense was horrendous. And frankly, their defense wasn't that great in this past year. And clearly, they didn't know how to close. But let's look at Minnesota now. Who's Minnesota got that's such a great pass rusher that's in front of Xavier Minnesota Rhodes?
Didn't Minnesota have Jared Allen before he bolted out of there to
He might have had Jared Allen for a year or two.
Jared Allen was in Minnesota when they drafted Xavier Rhodes.
All right. So fair enough.
Yeah. The,
all right. All right. All right. All right, Geralt. I'm stopping this. I tell you what, this draft wasn't a very good draft for Alabama. You've got, what, four Alabama players in the top two rounds? You have Eddie Lacy, who is twice the man he used to be. You've got DJ Fluker, Chance Warmack, and Dee Milliner. They went 9, 10, and 11 in that first round. Four Alabama players, all busts, I would venture.
Yeah.
Actually, interesting note here to point out that you mentioned Eddie Lacy, 29th pick in the second round. 30th pick, Christine Michael, and this current offseason, they both switched teams. Christine Michael signed with the Packers. Eddie Lacy signed with the Seahawks.
It's a poor draft, and at some point, we're going to have to redraft the 2013 draft.
Oh, that's going to be great.
Which is going to be a lot of fun. But
here's a name that we haven't heard from in a while. Monty Ball.
Oh, yeah.
Pick 26 overall, Denver Broncos. Set career rushing records at Wisconsin.
We also can't let a 2013 draft discussion go by without mentioning the great the great LA Rams wide receiver Tavon Austin, pick number 8, I don't know what his numbers are there, Jay, in your AV thing, but didn't he get a big contract recently or last year? And he has done very little in this league. Wow, what a pick he was.
Oh, yeah. I think if you were to go back and ask any of these teams, let's see, Kansas took Eric Fisher. Are they taking Le'Veon Bell or DeAndre Hopkins instead?
Absolutely.
Jacksonville?
Probably DeAndre Hopkins, not Le'Veon Bell, because they still had healthy running backs at the time.
That would be my guess. Or they're probably trading out of that spot. Jacksonville took Luke Jokel. They're definitely taking somebody different. Miami took Deion Jordan. They're definitely taking someone different. Philadelphia took Lane Johnson. Is this a spot where we see maybe it's not Lane Johnson, but maybe they're still taking a tackle here, James?
Possibly. Considering the regime that came in at the time, like I said, it was, you know, it was changes all over the place. The team was in flux. We still had... I'm going to cry saying these names. You still had Jackson, Macklin, and Shady McCoy. So considering this is lackluster as far as quarterback, yeah, we're still taking offensive linemen.
I'm looking for the first team that's actually going to still take their guy. And maybe Detroit still takes Ezekiel Ansa if he's
possibly
still on the board. But my guess is Ezekiel Ansa is not on the board at 5 anymore.
I think there would...
Cleveland's taking a new guy. Arizona's taking a new guy. I mean, St. Louis, who now LA. I mean, they did. They were the team that did give Austin more money. Maybe the Rams still feel okay about Tavon Austin.
No.
You think
they go somewhere else.
Maybe they go somewhere else.
You've got this guy who signed a new, he was an unrestricted free agent. Undrafted free agent in this draft. That was Adam Thielen, who just signed for Minnesota, got a long-term deal. He was undrafted in here. You can't take Austin at that pick. My goodness me.
All right.
AJ Bouye, the cornerback, was also undrafted that year.
Okay. So, let's see. The Jets are definitely taking a new player. Is Tennessee taking a different guard than Chance Warmack?
Yes.
Well, are they though, Neil? We got to assume that the teams ahead of them are going to take the guards.
Remember, Alabama's coming off a national title this year, so a lot of their players were highly rated because national title and the exposure. So, I mean, we're looking at.
Oh yeah, I mean he was hugely rated player, but you've got to take Kyle Long, surely, no? If you want a guard, or Travis Frederick in center, they'll take somebody else, surely.
All right, so. Let's see. San Diego's taking a new player. Oakland's taking a new player. Are the Jets taking a different player than Sheldon Richardson? Again, you have to assume that Kawan Short's already off the board.
He's great on the field. He's a complete liability off the field.
Didn't Hankins come out in this draft for the Giants? Who's currently a free? Yes, Jonathan Hankins.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Jonathan Hankins was in this draft, so they could go that route.
Yeah, second round pick, number 49.
Mm-hmm. Carolina's definitely taking another player. The Saints are definitely. Buffalo is definitely. Although Buffalo was desperate for a quarterback, obviously. So,
you think Carolina wouldn't take Lota Lele again? Or would they want to take Kawan Short, swap those picks around?
Well, Kawan Short is going to be taken. I'm guessing Kawan Short's going to be taken before we get to number 14. So they're not going to get a shot at Kawan Short. The question is going to be, is there another defensive tackle on the board that's better than Lutulele? And my guess is there probably would be.
Sharif Floyd, maybe?
Exactly. So let's see. The Saints are going to take a new player. Buffalo is an interesting one because they're still going to be at this point. They were desperate for a quarterback. So the question is, obviously, it's not going to be EJ Manuel, but are they going to take that? Are they going to use this pick to take one of the other crappy quarterbacks? Are they going to take this pick Mike Glennon be
their
starter?
I think they stick with this pick. None of these quarterbacks have done anything really. And Mike Glennon, I mean, come on, he hasn't done anything worth talking about. You know, at least I have to say he's better than EJ Manuel. I mean, at least
I will go out on a limb and say Mike Glennon is better than EJ Manuel.
Nah.
I'll take that trip.
You take that trip by yourself, sir.
Surely the Bills would take another position, Jay, because there's desperate and there's picking EJ Manuel. I mean, when you pick EJ Manuel, you're leaving desperate way behind.
Yeah, plus they traded up for this pick from the Rams, so, I mean...
Oh, my God, they traded up for this pick.
Yeah, they traded up for this.
Oh, wow.
All right, is Pittsburgh...
Is Doug Whaley in charge, then?
Is Pittsburgh taking another player than Jarvis Jones?
Yes.
Probably Jamie Collins if they stick with linebacker and he's still on the board.
If they stick linebacker, they stay with their position. They're drafting somebody else other than Jarvis Jones.
All right, San Francisco taking another player than Eric Reed.
Almost anybody.
But he was a good player.
He's a good player.
Didn't he make a Pro Bowl at one point?
He did. And actually, in looking at the time period, remember the defense was stacked in the front seven, so they really did need secondary help. Now, do they go somewhere else and probably try to, you know, luck up on one of the other secondary players, like hoping Xavier Rhodes or Alfred Trufant are available to, you know, get better at corner?
If you're looking at safeties in that draft, you probably DJ Swearinger is probably the best of the safeties. You had Cyprian and Elam. Matt Elam, the Baltimore guy.
What? Well, you can't take Matt Eagle because he's about to go to jail.
The Giants take Justin Pugh. Are they sticking with that tackle selection, or do we still have another tackle that's better on the board?
Well, I think he pushed himself into guard, didn't he? Or they pushed him into guard, and the pick after him was Kyle Long. Kyle Long, who is a far better guard, so maybe they'd take him instead, Jay.
Well, and my guess is Kyle Long is going to be well gone by this point, but I think if we're going to be honest with ourselves, that's the first pick that doesn't change, is Chicago and Kyle Long. Or Cincinnati and Tyler Eifert. So it's really 20 picks in that that teams actually started doing a good job drafting. And if you look at those teams, well, we're going to take Chicago out of the conversation, but now we're going to look at Cincinnati, Atlanta, Minnesota, Indianapolis, Minnesota again, the Packers, the Texans, the Broncos. There's Minnesota again, the Rams, the Cowboys, and the Ravens. Most of those teams have a little something in common, and that is they're pretty darn good today.
Yeah.
Most of them.
Yeah, they are. Most of them.
So that's a... That'll be an interesting task when we redraft the 2013 draft, and I propose we do it for next Thursday. Done. So prepare for that, super fans. Speaking of drafts, the super fan super mock draft hasn't started yet, and we still need some super fans to represent some teams. So if you are interested in joining us here on this podcast to have these types of conversations about NFL and the 2013 draft, please send us an email, nextfanup@gmail.com. You can also tweet us, and we'll tell you to email us, but you can tweet us at NFU Podcast, and you can take part in our conversations that we have from time to time on Facebook, facebook.com/NFU Podcast, or can check out what we have to say on our website, nextfanup.wordpress.com. I know, Neil, you just recently published a piece about the superfans' thoughts on the upcoming NFL draft.
Yeah, we put together, I should say, Chris, our Saints fan, and Rob, our Bills fan, and I, we did a couple of podcasts, and we put down our top five players in each position. We had a bit of an argument off air about some of the picks, but we were very nice and polite to each other on air. So we've got them up there, and it's very interesting to see... to see who are going to be, well, we guess that 50% of them are going to be busts, Jay. Is that what we've learned today?
I think that's what we learned, that more than 50% will be a bust in the first round, for sure. So if you're Cleveland, San Francisco, Chicago, Jacksonville, Tennessee, the New York Jets, the Chargers, the Panthers, the Bengals, the Bills, the Saints, the Browns, the Cardinals, the Colts, the Eagles, the Ravens, the Redskins, the Titans, and the Buccaneers, you are all going to end up with a lousy draft choice.
You do worry, don't you? I certainly worry for Cleveland. They've got two picks in the top 12, haven't they? They've got the first pick and the 12th pick. You can just see it going absolutely hideously wrong, can you? They'll take a quarterback who busts at one, and then they'll take some unknown cornerback who's just going to miss time through injuries and drugs. It's going to be terrible for Cleveland. I can just sense it.
It certainly
Miles
doesn't.
Miles Garrett sitting well. There.
They're Miles not going to pass on Miles Garrett.
The best
There's no way.
Sure. Oh, yeah, of course they are. Of course they are.
No, they can't.
There's no other player that's down. Even in the conversation, though. I will tell you what.
Quarterback at 12.
Well, exactly.
I will tell you what worries me the most for Cleveland right now is that literally no one else is talked about at the top of the draft other than Miles Garrett. There's no other player that has been mentioned that could possibly challenge for that spot. That would be worrisome to me, especially if I was a Browns fan, because the whole draft is on Miles Garrett's shoulders. That's it. Like, the whole draft is just Miles Garrett.
But you know, Jay, if you two guys just take a moment and think deep into your subconscious, you can feel it, can't you? The Browns are going to take somebody else. They're just going to do it.
Not, the only way I see them taking somebody else is if, one, they take Myles Garrett at one, and then with their second pick, they don't go quarterback. That's the only way I see that happening.
Neil, I'm looking at your mock draft. You took away the Patriots' first-round draft choice? Oh, wait. Yeah, the Patriots traded it away. That's right. Never mind. Yeah. Silly me. I totally forgot that they pulled off that ridiculous trade that I want to forget about every single time I think of it.
Oh, my gosh.
Has Roger not sent out that message yet that I'm actually in charge of the draft pick? So I've taken them away again, Jay. Wasn't very happy. You were, blaming some immigrant reporter for stealing Tom Brady's jerseys. I think that's worthy of docking you a first round pick.
Oh man, I got to tell you right now, we've had a conversation and we weren't going to make a big deal about this, but we want to let everyone know we are now officially accredited media with the NFL, this particular podcast. We are accredited as the Next Fan Up podcast hosted by Pod Vader and the super fans. Now, I'm bringing that up just because I think the NFL might want to look into their accreditations a little bit more closely, because I don't know if somebody reached out to me and said, "Hey, I'm Darth Vader, and I'd like to get media accreditation to cover your sport." I don't know if I'd be quick to provide that accreditation. I'm just saying.
Well, as long as they work for a reputable news source, they're given credentials to show up at sites.
Well, and that's sort of what I'm getting at. Like, I don't think it's that surprising that we find that Brady's jersey was stolen by a media member. Because I don't think it's that difficult to get media credentials.
No, actually, what I'm really surprised at is that, Jay, you haven't done it sooner.
Yeah. I'm a little disappointed in myself. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised too, Jay. But I'm telling you, there's no way that football that Malcolm Butler intercepted. I'm not paying $500 for it. Okay, I'll get 400 tops.
That's well done, Neil. If only I had that. Hey, one last topic that I failed to mention at the top. And just to sort of wrap up the show as we're at the hour mark now, Jay Cutler seems to be in the Ryan Fitzpatrick position where Ryan Fitzpatrick was last year. That's where Jay Cutler is this year, where Cutler doesn't necessarily have a team that's at all interested in him. And again, this is one of those instances where I'm so sad that we don't have Andy here, because Andy brought this up, is that Jay Cutler is good enough to make a team better. So whereas I mentioned, would I rather have Brian Hoyer or Jay Cutler if I'm the San Francisco 49ers, I'd rather have Jay Cutler as my starting quarterback to move my team further in. And Andy brought up the fact that, well, except the 49ers don't want Jay Cutler to make them go 6-10. They'd much rather be 3-13 and have a better draft choice, which I think is sort of, I think he's right. I think Jay Cutler now lands in that sort of mediocre quarterback spot where a horrible team doesn't want him to get better because they don't want to only reach mediocrity. And that's sort of where we're at with Jay Cutler. And Neil, what do you think about that?
Yeah, I think Andy made a really good point there. Taking all that away, Jay, just where do you think... Well, clearly, for me at least, Cutler is a better quarterback than Fitzpatrick. But where do you think he ends up? Because I was kind of almost sure he would end up with the Jets. But, yeah, I don't know. What do you guys think? Where's he going to land on the first day of the season? What uniform is he going to be wearing?
By the way, just to highlight that, the Jets chose Josh McCown over Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
Which is pretty foolish on their part. But as Andy mentioned, it doesn't let the Jets get better. And so that remains in his and mine best interest in terms of the AFC East.
That's what makes me think the Jets might take a quarterback at 6 this year and play McCown for a bit and then bring him on.
You think the Jets would take a quarterback at pick 6?
If they're getting themselves a backup who can maybe start?
Yes.
Oh, I would let me tell you, I hate the Jets, but I would start to feel sorry for the Jets fans if the Jets used their sixth pick in the draft to take a quarterback. That would be really, really bad on their part.
So where's Cutler going then, Jay?
Where's Cutler going? I mean, that's a great question. It's like, for me, if I'm the 49ers, I go and get Jay Cutler. But Andy's right. Does Jay Cutler make the 49ers a playoff team? Not this year, that's for sure. So he's not going to end up there.
Need quarterback still. If the teams are bad enough to where they don't want to get better than where they are because they're jockeying for position for next year's draft, it doesn't make sense to sign them. And if these teams are mediocre and just trying to get to the verge of having a chance at possibly making the playoffs, you still don't want him because he's not consistently reliable enough to lead a team to that point. He's only done it once in his career to get the Bears to the playoffs. And I think he got the Broncos to the playoffs once. He's a 10-year veteran, basically only has two playoff berths. And neither one is worth anything to talk about. With the Bears, he got them to a conference title game where he played all of 5 minutes before getting knocked out. And no one knew what the injury was because he wasn't really demonstrative of, as far as what was wrong with him. People thought that he could go back out there because at the time it was a leg injury. No one knew that it was, you know, an ACL, MCL sprain or possible tear that, you know, would have, you know, greatly hampered his performance at the time. But there was no sign from him that the injury was severe enough to where he couldn't go back out there. He's walking around on the sidelines. He's sitting on the bench. He's not even helping the backup quarterback who had to go in and face the Packers at that point. So is that a guy you want culturally on your team, you know, with that type of demeanor and mentality going forward? Not really. I mean, his stats may be good enough to get the job done probably, what, 3 out of 5 times, but as far as the chemistry fit for the teams that still need quarterbacks, there's no way I waste time on Jay Cutler. Honestly, I think he's done. He should probably put on a suit and sit in the booth. And if he doesn't want to do that, he needs to swallow his pride, take a massive pay cut, and hold a clipboard for somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Let's look at, let's see, the Browns, the 49ers are not going to sign Jay Cutler because they won't get to the playoffs this year. The Jaguars have Blake Bortles and seem to have, well, they've caught my eye, seem to have
on a short leash.
He is, but is Jay Cutler going to be the on the other end of that leash?
No.
I mean, that might be something for Jacksonville to consider.
He I don't see him making them that much better than what they already have in Bortles.
Neil?
He's just an older version of Bortles, isn't he, Cutler?
You may have a point there, Neil. Chicago just cut Jay Cutler, so that ship has sailed. The Los Angeles Rams would be interesting, but I think they've clearly attached their cart to their young quarterback.
And even if he were to take that job, he has no talent around him.
The L.A. Chargers of San Diego. They're not departing with Philip Rivers at this particular point. The New York Jets, they've made their decision. Carolina, if let's say, it takes a little longer for Cam Newton to get back into shape and get out on the football field, is Jay Cutler a better option than Derek Anderson?
You talking about...
Well, I would throw into the...
I'd probably stick with
Anderson. I would throw into the mix there, Jay, that if they're looking for a backup for Cam Newton, wouldn't it be better going down the Colin Kaepernick route?
Indeed.
I would probably think so. So now we move on to Cincinnati. I don't think Cincinnati is going to attach their wagon to the Jay Cutler train. Certainly not even as a backup. Philadelphia, they've clearly gotten better with Carson Wentz. They're not in the game. Here's an interesting team, except it's not going to happen because what we thought might happen didn't. That would be the New Orleans Saints. I would say if Sean Payton was no longer in town, a new administration would probably trade Drew Brees away and look for another start. But that's obviously not happening. Buffalo. I'm going to pause on Buffalo there for you guys to consider. I mean, clearly Buffalo's not going to sign Jay Cutler. They seem to be okay with Tyrod Taylor.
You do realize that Bill's Robert, Robert, our Bills fan, he's having heart palpitations right now, Jay.
I do realize that. Yeah, I mean, as I continue to go through these teams, Arizona, I mean, is he replacing Carson Palmer?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Oh, no.
Indianapolis, is he a better backup option for Indianapolis? Clearly, but he's not going to play for backup money.
He's not going to play backup.
Just backup there, Jay. Why not Arizona? Come in and be the backup to Palmer. Is Palmer going to play the whole season?
Interesting. Even if he doesn't, I don't think he's better than the backup Arizona has.
I would also say that I think the head coach is clearly linked himself to Carson Palmer, and bringing in Jay Cutler would be sort of undermining any sort of confidence that they have in Carson Palmer.
I suppose Cutler has that problem, doesn't he? That he's probably too good to be a backup yet, but too risky to be your out-and-out starter. Is that the...
Well, and that's sort of...
he finds himself?
I think that's sort of exactly where he finds himself. He's now in a position where he's got to wait for that tragic injury to happen during the preseason for him to get a job. Because it's not going to happen in Indianapolis at the present time. It's not going to happen in Minnesota at the present time, nor Baltimore. The Redskins, if they decide to trade away Kirk Cousins, I mean, I think Jay Cutler is the next best option for them.
Mm-mm.
Daniel Snyder loves him. Oh, did. Oh, what a nightmare.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, but Kirk Cousins would have to be traded away for that scenario to
but
even
he's
happen.
Not getting traded. Ownership has already said they're not trading Kirk, and Kirk's pretty much said he wasn't looking for a trade.
Yeah, Denver, Jay Cutler's not returning to Denver.
Nope.
Tampa Bay, they're good. Tennessee, they're good. Detroit, they're okay. Houston, I think Houston just waits to see how long this Romo hold off, you know, this Romo standoff stands. Right. So it's either going to be Romo or Cutler. And I think most people believe that this ultimately is going to work out where Romo will be in Houston.
It's going to be Romo.
Miami? I don't think that's going to happen. But, I mean, perhaps Jay Cutler gives Tannehill a little push in the preseason.
They're quite happy with Moore as the backup, though, no?
Well, you do have Adam Gase, and Cutler had his best year with Adam Gase.
Very true. Yeah.
It's not going to be Green Bay. Certainly not Seattle. Not going to happen in with the Giants. Steelers are fine. The Falcons are fine. Raiders are fine. The Chiefs are fine. The Cowboys are fine. And the Patriots, of course, are fine. Although, again, I wouldn't mind Jay Cutler backing up Tom Brady. That's not going to happen.
No.
So there you go. Jay Cutler doesn't have a job in the NFL until somebody gets hurt. And somebody will get hurt. It happens every year.
So the question is it going to be a starter or a backup?
I think Cutler's best scenario is that Jerry Jones decides that Tony Romo is not going anywhere, and he's going to stick around as a sort of player, coach, mentor as a backup option to Dak Prescott because he can afford it. There's no reason to let Romo go at the present time. And, you know, if I'm Tony Romo and I'm still going to get my however many millions to sit on the bench and hold a clipboard, I'm okay with that. Unless I really, really want to be a competitor and really, really, really want to go out and play.
I don't think that's who Romo is. I think Romo is a competitor. I think he wants to get out there and play for a contender. I don't think he's the sort of guy who's going to sit with a clipboard. Yeah, he just doesn't come across as that sort of guy.
I'm
going to be the starter in either Denver or Houston, and that's pretty much the end of Tony Romo's options.
Well, unless San Francisco or Washington want to get involved in some manner.
Well, he also wants a team that has a chance of making a playoff. So
again, I like Kevin's
chance he comes to Washington.
I liked Kevin's idea of Romo in Jacksonville. That would be interesting to see play out. All right.
He wants to play for a contender, no?
Yeah.
He does. I think Jacksonville will be a contender and would be an excellent contender with Romo behind
with
center.
Romo as quarterback, yes.
What? Even with the Pod Vader kiss of death?
The Pod Vader, by the way, the Pod Vader kiss of death was only a year short, as mentioned last week. I loved the Atlanta Falcons 1 year before their time, and then they showed up in the Super Bowl this year. And the two teams that I really liked this past season were both playoff contenders, and one was cursed by an injury, which had nothing to do with my liking of them. And that is the Oakland Raiders. The other team was the Kansas City Chiefs, who are the official boyfriends of Pod Vader last year. So, just saying, my kiss of death is not so deadly.
Yeah, nobody thought that, of course, when Carr crashed to the ground in a heap.
they weren't thinking, oh, that darn Pod Vader curse. Not at all. Not at all.
Painful. Painful.
All right. I think we've run the course. So Jay Cutler doesn't have a job until someone gets hurt. Sorry, Jay. I would sign with one of the broadcast companies as soon as you possibly can, because that's just free money. Might as well take it. All right. And by the way, there's plenty of places for Jay Cutler to sign with, too. His wife alone helps his Q score in terms of television ratings.
He's not exactly sort of the effervescent, bubbly, chatty figure on TV, is he?
No, he's not.
No. But
you imagine him so he's sitting there, oh my God, it's been bloody miserable this game.
That would be awesome. If I had an announcer that actually told the truth, like, man, this game is this game is garbage. Why are we still doing this game? I would love it.
That's why I miss John Madden. Madden would actually tell you, this isn't good defense, this is just bad football.
There you go. All right, send in those emails, nextfanup@gmail.com. You can tweet us at NFU Podcast. And, of course, follow everything that we got going on our website, nextfanup.wordpress.com, or Facebook, facebook.com/NFU Podcast. We know that there's a few more of you out there that have since discovered the show. Help us find more people to discover the show. Share it with a friend, won't you please? And subscribe to the show. Leave us a review and a rating on iTunes or anywhere where you subscribe to this particular podcast, because we could use the help in reaching out to more and more folks. Next week, we are going to redraft that 2013 draft. And I'm going to talk with a fan of the St. Louis Rams, who now are, of course, the LA Rams, and find out what it's like in a town that used to have an NFL franchise. And, we'll try and figure out what that's going to mean for the city of Oakland, because I'm pretty sure we're going to have a vote that will send Oakland to Las Vegas sometime next week. And of course, Neil, you will be back on Sunday. Do you have anything planned for the Sunday show?
Yes, we do, Jay. We have Matt Phillips from 40 Yard Scouting coming to do a little session with us to look at the draft and look at the work that he does across Europe in the draft. And of course, we'll have Rob and Chris there, and we'll be looking at more of these fantastic draft picks that are going to be coming up in April. Can't wait.
Awesome. So there you go, folks. That's all we have for you. Here is Jeff Fisher. There you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that this game is 4 quarters long.
All right. 1 hour, 18 minutes of pure NFL talk.
The only thing we missed, I think, was, that thing with Roger Goodell.
Yeah, I forgot to talk about the tablets.
The tablets and the not going under the hood anymore, which will be surely a good thing.
But does that really quicken the game? No.
No.
Oh, instead of the referee walking off the field to a hooded thing, now he is handed a tablet. Oh, that's
well, I tell you, as a Washington Redskins fan, the NFL should have been handing out tablets to us a long time ago for the depression and the and the misery we've suffered all these years.
But again, speaking of those tablets, you know, Belichick really loves those tablets.
He does.
He loves them so much. He'll chuck them around and break them because they don't work.
He prefers paper.
It's going to be, yeah, the tablet thing would be great as long as they work well all the time. And the problem is that they need to have dedicated Wi-Fi service.
Isn't the interesting aspect of it, though, that there's going to be more of the decision making, actually the final decision being taken by the guys in the studio as opposed to the ref, or did I read that the wrong way around? The final decision,
the guys back in New York will ultimately have the final ruling.
But I mean
the ruling on the field still becomes important, so the review has to overturn whatever the ruling on the field is.
Yeah,
that's right. So it's like the burden of proof. The burden of proof is on the guys in New York.
Yeah. So innocent until proven guilty sort of thing, yeah.
Yeah. James is gone, and it's just me and you now, Neil.
Hey,